Yesterday we talked more extensively about what it means to be delivered unto death, or what it means to be to live. And there's, I mean, this is really a mind-blowing statement, if you could, in chapter 4, verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death. Hey, come on in. We which live are always delivered unto death. Why? What in the world is going on? We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also, or the resurrection of Jesus Christ, might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, the same spirit of faith. Let's go to 2 Peter, chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. The Bible is not written to the human race. The Bible is written only to them that have received the like precious faith. The only way you receive the like precious faith is by being born again, because that is the like precious faith. And born again is not a mental attitude. It's not something that you have decided. It's a mystery. Beyond mysteries. But the mystery is, very simply stated, that the seed of Christ, the sperma of God, has come unto us. And the only way that seed of Christ can live is by our death. Now, until that becomes the predicate of your life, nothing will ever work. Everything you do will always, you'll forget. You'll sit here and here and here and here and here, but you don't hear. Because you believe the scriptures and the Bible is written to you as a human being. It is written to those who have obtained like precious faith. Now, like there is an extremely important word. It means not, it has it in it, the word anti, the instead of. We have received the instead of kind of faith, instead of the faith of man. There's neither, I mean, all over the place, there's statements like there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female, bond or free, Greek or Jew, young or old. Why? Because the Bible is about something that doesn't exist in our senses. It just blows me away that people say they forget. Or they get seduced by some idea of your mind. Or even, I don't like it. Well, I don't like, no mind likes it. Because your mind is the antithesis of God. It's enmity against God. It cannot be subject to the law of God. Therefore, the only people that hear are the ones that are no longer, John the Baptist called the human race sons of the serpent. Jesus said, the generation of... He's not talking about a generation of 40 years. He called them a generation of vipers. That's not that generation that lived back then. That is the human race. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. If anything that you want is esteemed among men, it is an abomination unto God. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we are all dead. Again, I'm going to go through these things. Jesus, it says of him that he was the last Adam. He was the last member of the human race. Who are you? There's only two left, the bride and the harlot. The bride is the one that exists and lives only by mercy and grace. The whore is the one that continually is motivated and prompted by the whore of Babylon sitting on the seven mountains of your high places of your mind. And that's what motivates you. That's what guides you. That's what runs you. Do you think they were killed in the first century because they told people how good they were and how they were champions and how to become better people? They were killed because they told them face to face with clarity, you are hopeless. You are an act. You are phony. You created yourself. He warns to keep away from those that have a form of godliness but deny his efficacy, his ability. They deny his ability by learning how to. Oh, I'm going to learn how to be a better person, and I'm going to be a how to this and how to that. As long as there's a how to, if you learn how to do anything, then you are never in faith. You are never in dependence. You are never in 100% reliance on the Father every second. The cross cut across everything. But the illusion still continues, so the test will be perfected. So you will fill up the affliction that's lacking in the body. But as long as you're living your life with the value systems of the human race and the hopes and dreams that you think you want that'll give you fulfillment, then you're a fool. Now you have to... This is the craziest thing you will ever hear. And it's either true or not. And if it's not true, why in the hell are you here? If it is true, why are you still living like a Gentile? It really doesn't. I've said it for 32 years. I don't care whether you believe or not. That's not my business. My business is to tell you what I see. And what I see is a generation of vipers. The human race. Oh no, he was just talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. No. He was talking to you and I. We are always delivered unto death for his sake, that resurrection of him might occur in us. We're not waiting for the second coming of Christ. He's here. You're not waiting for anything to happen. It has already happened. By one offering, you've been perfected forever. How can that be? Well, it's only because of your death. And his perfect life is resident within you. We are of the adoption, it says. But the adoption isn't the huio. The word does, it isn't the placing of a little child. It's the huio thesios, the placing of the fullness of the Son in you. But his humility is so great, he cannot and will not violate your own will or your illusion of a will. And so long as you continue on with your own ideas and feelings and your own judgments about life, then his humility says, I've got to stay hidden. Does anybody understand me? Your life is a lie. You invented yourselves. Why do you think he said, take no thought for yourself? If you don't know that your life is a lie, then none of this will make any sense. If you're still about improving yourself, you'll never hear. If you're still thinking about getting better, well, first of all, you've ignored all the evidence of the human race for thousands of years. And you're just trying to keep alive the lie. Again, the Bible is written to those of like precious faith. The opposite, or the instead of faith that men have. Every man has been given the measure of faith. Faith is as common as dirt. But not this like precious faith. Because that's the faith that has been tested and proven by trial. Now it's time to stop living like little children, tossed to and fro by every little movement of your mind and little expression or somebody's feelings about you or somebody's response to you. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed, because he is free. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, he is the light, he is peace. He's not going to give you any of those things. You're delivered unto death, so the fulfillment of his resurrection is manifested in you. But the moment you take thought for what you have to do or what you're thinking about or what's this going on with me and, oh, what's bad nauseam, the moment you take thought for yourself, then you've fallen back into the kingdom of darkness. The moment you judge your brother, you've fallen from the strong city. That's why I've said for 32 years, if you're not in heaven now, you never will be. Because you are seated with him on the mercy seat under the wings of the cherubim today. Now start living like it. Remember I said now? I didn't say it. Paul said it. Now you are complete in him. The word complete means you're crammed full. There is nothing more that can be put in you. He's done all that he can. But there is an enemy, and it's your mind. And the enemy tells you, I need, I want, I need, I want. Boy, if I could just do this. Boy, if I could just win the lottery. Boy, if I could just get that new car. Boy, if I could just meet the right person. I promise you something. You'll never meet the right person. You will never get any fulfillment by anything that you achieve. You will never find happiness by going anywhere. You'll still be living the same miserable lie. Time to put aside all of you. That's what repentance means. Repentance, the true meaning, means to divorce yourself. Now, if you're not tired of yourself, then You're going to continue on. You'll forget everything I've said. Because you will hear the Word of God as a means of improving you, a means for you to get something. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of God and not of us. Not just the excellency of Him's glory, but the excellency of life itself. The prayer is that you would know the riches of His inheritance, not yours. I was a child. I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I acted as a child. When I became an adult, I still played tiddlywinks. I still played with dolls. I still played in my imagination. No! When I became an adult, I divorced the childish things. Now, the childish things now are politics and value systems and world activities. Those are the childish things. Somebody must have a response. I'll shut up.
I was thinking about why would a person want to recreate themselves? What are the motivating forces?
It's the same one as Satan.
Fear and desire. Fear of death.
No, it's wanting. It's none of those. It's control. And to avoid death.
That's what I just said.
Well, I didn't hear you say that. I thought you said fear and
death. Fear.
You're in bondage. The scriptures tell us that you've spent your entire life in bondage over fear of death. Now I'm asking you to embrace it today. Once and for all time. And you won't be afraid anymore because there's a new life. He doesn't expect you to be anything or do anything. He expects you to be honest. At a level that you've never even dreamed of. So you stop repeating the same things over and over and over, thinking that that's the definition of insanity. Someone that repeats the same thing over again with expectation of a different result. Every one of you. Well, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this, and they've all failed. If they hadn't, you wouldn't be here. Well, now, but this next time, I'm going to do it, and then, no. The next time you're going to do it, you're going to still get screwed up, and be a lie, and live in the aloneness.
Two reactions in me. One is, each morning this week, I don't know why, but when you have mentioned death work within us, that's really good news to me in the last couple of days. I understand that. And the other thing is that when you said, you talked about the riches of His inheritance, not your inheritance, it reminded me of the Melito Sardi speech, in which he talks about Adam's inheritance that he left for his children.
Yeah, what did he leave? Lying, fantasies, hate, bitterness, solitude, aloneness, loneliness beyond measure. Boredom, ennui, milieu,
no.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Do you understand? This is why you'll be hated of all men, and they'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. Not because you tell men how to improve and then you live a lie. They'll just think you're goofy. You know, Jesus was kidding. He said to come to him, it'll cost you everything you own. Not just the possessions, that's easy. This crap up here that you own. He said, you'll be hated of all men. He said, they'll call you demon-possessed. They'll kill you and think they're doing God holy service. Most of the time, I mean, do you understand 99% of the world just ignores Christians because they're goofy, boring. Or once in a while, he may make their 87th trip down the aisle by saying, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. You can't do it. You cannot accept Him as your personal Savior. That's not in the Bible. You cannot make a decision for Christ. That's nowhere in the Scriptures. You really understand?
I just laugh and think of that 87 times and you say, but this time I really do.
That's the Ferguson syndrome.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to come down and cry.
Yeah.
I'll wash your feet. Get out of here, you little pipsqueak.
No doubt.
I'm losing patience, as some of you may not understand or be able to see. I used to be patient, but...
I can kind of fit that.
Thank you. I knew you would, Ronnie.
You're one ally.
I think we lost patience about 9 cents years ago. You've been telling us the same thing since.
Anybody else? John?
I'm losing patience also, and I need to repent of it.
I'm not going to repent of it. I'm losing patience because there's not much time left. I want you to be clothed in the garment that has not touched the flesh. His rightness, not yours. His inheritance, not yours. His life, not yours.
Holy, I have a problem the closer I get to Christ. I mean, especially in this walk the last 2 years. My burden is that I'm very judgmental, very critical, and very angry with what I see out in the world. I'm extremely outspoken about intolerance, about cruelty, and I have mixed feelings about that because I come away feeling bad. In other words, I feel good about my life, and I feel bad for having, I don't use four-letter words and all that, but for being angry with people and telling them what I believe. I want
you to stop a minute. I want you to analyze what you've just said. How many times you use the word I or my? Just, you got to let you go. Turn from you all. Your life is not your business. You've been bought with a price. That's why you abandon yourself. There's no behavioral patterns. That's God's business. You're free. You've been perfected forever by one offering. There's no more comparing. It's gone. But who am I talking to? Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Paul says clearly, his job, and anybody that preaches or teaches, his job is to present every man perfect in Christ. Well, it's either completed or I give up. It's that simple. If you're not perfect in Christ today and have been for your entire life, then I give up. I have nothing, because the task is hopeless. If it has anything to do with you or I, then we have to go to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, find the ashes of the red heifer, find the Ark of the Covenant. We have to go be raiders of the lost ark, and then know how to do the sacrifices, find the sacrifices without any sacrifice, without any blemish. If it has anything to do with me, then I have to do all that.
So if someone is filled with Christ 100% at any given moment, what should be their...
emptiness. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God. The problem is, in his humility, he cannot and will not occupy where you are. So as long as you are the subject of your sentence, there's no room at the end.
How would Christ or the Holy Spirit...
what?
React or treat or respond to injustice or murder or something?
Well, how did he respond? He was about his father's business. There was more injustice and murder and abortion and everything you can imagine in the Roman Empire than any other empire that has ever existed. Yet he said not one thing against the Roman Empire. Because he's about his people. He's about the father's business, not about what's going on. As long as you have a cause, then that'll become your food. That'll give you sustenance and satisfaction. But once you taste truly of the bread, of the flesh, of the Son, then you'll never again be hungry. Once you drink the blood, you'll never again have a concern for your worth, because it's a new life. Jesus is not an add-on to your life. He's a replacement. That's what the word reconciliation means. It means replacement. We've been reconciled to God by one offering. We have been replaced. And it's done. It's finished. It's over. You're perfected. Why do you continue to fight it? Why?
Because of the curse.
Anyone bring Christ into the world, use him in
I mean, you know, we wanna use him for our purposes, whatsoever they may be. All righty, I'm tired. Take a big guy.